Jeb.
Hey, what's up?
I got a question for ya.
Yeah, what is it?
What do a plane that gets taken over by a crew of convicted felons and an adventure-filled boat cruise along the cursed Amazon River have in common?
Wow, I have no idea. What do they have in common?
Well, let's find out, because this week I watched Con Air.
And this week I watched Jungle Cruise.
And now it's time to make the movie connection.
And here we go. We are off, taking flight and or setting sail, if you will. Welcome in, everybody. Hi there. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where, in an effort to broaden our individual movie horizons and just to stay connected in general, we decided to connect over something we both enjoy very much.
Movies!
And so, each week we assign each other movies to watch, usually that we haven't seen before, and then we watch them. And we sit down, and we discuss them, we review them, and we try to figure out, hey, you know what? Is there any connective tissue between these two movies?
Anything? Any connection little thing.
Other than this podcast? Anything? And sometimes the results are pretty dang interesting, I tell you what. And we have yet to break the show. I think that is what keeps this show afloat, if you will, is this ongoing mission to... See, you know, are there two movies that have absolutely no connection whatsoever? We beg to differ. We beg to say no.
That's
every
right.
Movie is connected somehow. Everything, everywhere, all
correct.
At once. But yeah. And yeah, it's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's a good podcast. You should listen to it.
Yeah, check it out, man.
Yeah.
Share it. Like, subscribe.
Like, right now.
Right now.
So, yeah, two great movies, like, two interesting movies in their own right. So to connect them is going to be really interesting. I mean, we got Jungle Cruise over here, very Disney-oriented, and then we got Con Air, opposite...
Not Disney.
Opposite side of the spectrum, practically.
Practically. It gets kind of dark, man.
Yeah, man. And this was... Was that a 90s movie? I think it was a 90s
movie. It was 97.
Ah. So...
So... Yeah, let's just jump into it. So I was watching, I put Con Air on.
Yeah.
I got a minute and 28 seconds in.
Okay.
When, it was very specific, I looked at the time. When the Trisha Yearwood song came on, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a core memory that just got unlocked. Like, I remembered, oh, I have definitely seen this film.
Yeah.
But it was like, I will say I didn't remember what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remembered his character.
Right.
I knew he was going to go to jail, and I remembered the diner scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's what my brain was like, no, you watched this when you were little, probably too young to watch something like this,
yeah,
but
right.
Definitely, like, this was on the house, in our house at some point, you
right.
know?
Well, interesting, because I saw this in theaters as a double feature alongside the movie Batman and Robin.
Oh my gosh, what a
combo.
Double feature.
So,
yeah,
and I mean, it wasn't like done like that. It was like, so it was at the Wonderland Theater, which is a nickel arcade that
has fun.
Really cheap movies, and on one side, and they have two screens, and on one screen they were showing Con Air, and on the other screen they were showing Batman and Robin. And a lot of people do the double feature thing, though, because yeah,
totally.
And, yeah, that's what we did. We watched Con Air first, and then Batman and Robin. In hindsight, Con Air is the better movie.
Yeah,
at the time,
true.
Though, I was a kid, so I was like, Batman and Robin's the only one I care about. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yep.
Well, plus, like, I mean, I do love Nick Cage, and, like, seeing this part of Nick Cage, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is like part of like my built-in love for him is like these characters, these action stars that he portrayed.
Weird.
Like You know, yeah, it is weird. This is totally a movie our parents like. Yeah. You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, shall we dive into Con Air a little bit? Why don't you tell me in your own words about it?
Okay, I will. This is a long one for me. In Con Air, we follow the story of Cameron Poe. He's an Army Ranger who comes home to Alabama, where his pregnant wife, Trisha, lives. She's a waitress at a bar when one of the regulars gets pushy. Mm. Cameron accidentally kills him.
Purely accidental.
He is sentenced with manslaughter and is in jail for the first 7 years of his daughter, Casey. Hello.
Wow.
It's life.
Right.
He is scheduled for parole when he gets on a plane with the most dangerous criminals who end up hijacking the plane and trying to escape the country.
Yes.
Cameron plays along all the while trying to work with Marshal Vince Larkin, played by John Cusack, to get free and stop these bad guys. So.
Bad dudes, bad seeds.
These are some bad guys, and this movie is why I always feel weird about Steve Buscemi.
Fair enough. Movie, this is the movie that does that, yeah.
It is. He plays this character very well.
This is one of his best characters, actually, I think.
So horrifying.
Like,
I was so stressed out when he was with that little
girl. Yes, I know. Yeah.
The level of stress I felt, and Josh is just like, you know that this is like an actor and a kid actor, and like it's a movie, and you're fine.
Doesn't
and I was
matter.
Like,
they're
stressed.
Framing it. They're trying to make you feel a certain way. You're like, you can't deny
and
that.
And you feel it.
So,
you
yeah.
feel it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So no,
awful.
You like you can. Yeah, sure, you can talk yourself out of it. But at the end of the day, a filmmaker is going for an effect, a very deliberate effect. And can we all agree that it's fucked up? Yeah. And especially since it doesn't even go down the way we think. Thank God. Though.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yes, because... thank God, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, great character, though. I loved it. Yeah, this is one of his... It's an underrated performance because he's got some pretty short screen time. But I don't know. He's doing something different from what he normally does. So, I really like
it. He totally is. And he plays, like, this, like, menacing, like... sociopath pretty well you know,
definitely,
like for such short screen time, his character definitely, like, when I saw him come up on the screen, I was like, oh, I remember you.
And I think I saw this before Reservoir Dogs even, and then because he would forever be that cannibal guy. Who wore a woman's head as a hat. Head as a hat. How does that work exactly? I'm picturing, neck, like... just
that's exactly what I pictured
there.
As well.
But I don't think
so.
I don't think the physics work out, but okay. But, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, shall we get into a little bit of... So, this is basically Con Air in the sky, right? Die Hard in the sky, right?
Yes.
Like, essentially?
It absolutely is. That's... I don't want to spoil anything, but that's definitely one of the movie matches that I made.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Let's get into some Q&A here. Thoughts on the Nick Cage accent? What's going on here?
Yeah, he's got, like, a Bama accent.
Is it, though?
It's pretty, yeah. You disagree?
I don't know. It's distracting. Because then you're like, I don't know, it's Nick Cage, so is he really doing it justice or not? You just never know.
Well, he always has to have, like, his little bit of a spin on everything, right? And where was he from? He's from somewhere.
Alabama. Right?
Is he in real life?
Oh, I don't know that. Yeah.
I think he's from...
Hmm.
It's going to distract
California?
Me. No, he's not from California. I think he's from Kentucky or something.
Oh, weird. What a weirdo.
Oh, no, you're right. Well, wow.
California, yeah.
So he just, like, always talks weird. Yep, California.
He loves to do that. Thank God we never had to go through the Jamaican accent, though.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that, because yikes.
So you dig the accent, but you love Nick Cage, so that's to be expected.
I do. Yeah, I was like, it's fine. I thought he did okay.
We also have John Malkovich, who we encountered last season in a very different role.
Yes, that's true.
In The Man in the Iron Mask. So we've seen John Malkovich play good and bad roles with varying degrees of believability.
Yeah.
What do you think about his performance as Cyrus the Virus?
First of all, rad name.
Awesome.
Very cool. No, I think he is a good bad guy.
Yeah.
A better bad guy.
Right.
Yeah, he was good. He presents himself in a very charismatic way, and I felt like he was believable to be this leader of this group kind of guy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a mastermind, but at the same time, bad dude. Psychopath.
Bad dude.
Yeah. But he has a code, it seems.
Right, because he doesn't like rapists.
Right. Standards.
So, I mean, there's some soul in him somewhere.
Sort of, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I guess.
And he also is, open to listening to Poe on a few occasions. Very interesting character. It's so funny with John Malkovich, because he either plays something really good or really bad.
Yeah, he's one of those actors.
He's noticeably bad or just, he nailed it. Yeah.
Right.
This is, I would consider this one of his good ones, one of his good performances.
Yeah, I think that he was really, really good in this, yeah.
Underneath the casual racism and the madcap performances, so much casual racism, my God.
So much. So much. There was, so much casual racism happening. Super weird. To be fair. Yep, you're welcome.
White people got it too. thankfully, but you know, but still, glaringly, not kind to our Hispanic and black brothers and sisters out there. Jesus Christ.
Yep, I agree.
Not kind.
Not kind.
So underneath all that, this has some things to say about our prison system, I think. Thoughts? Or is it more about the treatment of our military?
I mean,
or is it
both,
drawing,
right?
A comparison?
Interesting, because, so he, goes in and his lawyer's well, you have to plead guilty. You'll get less time. Then he pleads guilty, and the lady's just like, you're a deadly weapon.
Yeah, deadly weapon.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh, damn, okay.
Right.
I feel like most people could see, what happened was sort of, almost an act of self-defense. It wasn't quite, right?
Right.
Because, nobody needed to die.
Right.
But he was definitely, trying to defend his pregnant wife, and these guys were being real sketch McGetch. Why did they? I don't get them.
I love in how did this get made? It's like they hate him for his surface.
Yeah, it's so weird. They wanted to fight this guy.
Because normally hicks like this are weirdly, I don't know.
Patriotic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
A weird kind of hick. It was interesting. fucking pansy, you're the reason we lost Vietnam. Okay, so wait, you're insulting me for there's so many layers of insult going on here.
Weird. I felt she was we get sort of a little bit of background on his character of being quick to do things. She's I hoped that the military would have or army would have taken that away from you.
So he probably was headed down a bad path. Military was going to fix that, and then nope.
Now he's in jail.
Deadly weapon.
And we only get to see little bits of him in jail.
Working out, it's what you do.
Yeah, working out. It's what Nick Cage does.
Yeah.
He likes to do push-ups. And Red Rock West too. he likes to do street push-ups in that movie. Yeah, I don't know. But definitely, they had some things to say. I'm just not 100% sure what they were.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It was interesting. Well, that was the thing. I feel like they didn't fully commit.
That's how I felt, too. I was just like, yeah, I see you making, a couple of big statement things here, but, I'm not really sure what to make of them.
Yeah, but in the end, they just... But then they're just like, oh, wait, no, just be diehard.
Yeah, just be diehard. Just be, this guy... For him, it's like a ex-convict military man that's gonna help save America.
And prove that there is a God.
And prove that there is a God, which, by the way, that's not a cocky statement at all. I'm gonna prove to you that there's a God.
Let me show you something. Here, hold my beer. What? Yeah, the equivalent of hold my beer.
It was so weird.
To me, a lot of surprise, appearances, one of those, it's one of those movies where it's oh shit, that guy, movies. Sure. Did you have a favorite? Because for me, Dave Chappelle.
That was a shocker.
Danny Trejo, John Cusack, honestly,
I was honestly happy to see John Cusack because I really enjoy him anytime he's on screen.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you, why. Because, I don't... He's... Him and Keanu Reeves, sort of remind me of each other.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. I'm not sure why.
Does have that calming energy.
They have calming energy. They both do. That's right. So, probably John Cusack was my favorite. Right. Oh, whoa, what's he doing here?
That guy.
Dave Chappelle was shocking, though, and same with Danny Trejo. Trejo.
He's so young too in this. Yeah.
So young.
So had to be shortly after From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Check it out. We did a podcast episode on it.
And it was really fun.
It was. After witnessing Poe's miraculous journey, did it make you believe there is a God? Maybe not.
I have very complex feelings about religion.
Right. I mean, is he supposed to be a stand-in for Jesus? I mean, look at that hair.
I mean, I didn't think that, but then I was maybe that's what he's trying to be. I'm not really sure. I don't know that that's what I would have taken away from it, though. But I'm glad his friend held on, you know?
Yeah. And did you so that actor played, I think that's the same guy who plays Bubba from Forrest Gump.
Which
oddly, odd connections between this character and Bubba, yet again, having to be held in the arms of another white simpleton man.
Yeah, that is kind of a weird connection right there.
Yeah, poor guy.
I love it.
Did a show called Boomtown that he was actually pretty good in too.
He was great in this. He was definitely the heart.
Yes.
Of the movie, right?
Poor guy. He had
Diabetes?
Yeah.
Diabetes. Needed his insulin, man.
So we had Con Air, which is, an original movie. We have, coming up here, Jungle Cruise, which is based off of a ride. Now, which got me thinking, what about a Con Air ride?
An airplane that's crashing? Right. What is the ride going to be?
What would you think about that? Well, no.
I would be terrified.
So,
it going to be a murder mystery party?
See, exactly. I'm thinking, in this post, what's that stupid... Well, not stupid. It's supposed to be one of the best rides ever. That new Star Wars ride, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rise of the Resistance?
I think that's it, right. Where it's very interactive. Right?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to go on it yet.
You have to go at certain times and stuff. Same here. And it's, I think
super interactive. Everybody gets a job to do during the ride.
Oh, wait, maybe that's not what I'm thinking. Well, no, that is what I'm thinking. Because, you're going along. I think you run into Rey at some point. I think there's Kylo Ren at some point, too. Not the Millennium Falcon ride, right?
Right.
Okay, good. Okay. But anyway, this is the future of rides, I think, where it's practically a show but it is a ride where you're like moving around too. Like, you know, yeah, rides are different these days.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think the Con Air ride would be more like that, where it's like, yeah, interactive, like,
yeah, and you're getting you're on. Right.
Somebody's playing the undercover cop, you know, gets totally. Taken out. It'd be fucked up, like.
It'd be like, fucked up, man.
Like, yeah. Exactly.
But you know, I think that there would be a market for it. I feel like there's a lot of people who would think it would be really cool.
I think it had its time.
Anybody that likes action movies, right?
Yeah, right. I think we missed the boat though, because it's like, yeah.
Kind of old now, 25.
Con Air, like people, there it does still have its cult following, but yeah. Okay. Speaking of Danny Trejo. Danny Trejo is in this movie. He's an ex-con himself. You know, yeah. We all know that. And is known for being, you know, a pretty tough guy.
Tough guy.
He worked with other tough guys, you know, a lot of others in a lot of other movies. You know, do you know who he actually considers to be one of the scariest dudes he worked with?
Who?
John Cusack.
What?
Like somebody, I think they asked him, like, "Hey, you know, who freaks you out? You know, you, Danny Trejo." And he's like, "John Cusack, man. There's just something behind the eyes, you know."
Oh my god! And see, I have the opposite reaction. Exactly. To him. It's like, "Oh, he's so calming. He right. like, I enjoy his presence. Like, that's so funny."
Yeah.
I could see how it could be the opposite,
the
though.
The Tom Cruise right? thing, where it's like maybe like too like yeah, dead eye going on. Like yeah, he's too calm.
Fucking Tom Cruise, man.
Yeah. So yeah.
Fun fact: my favorite like memories of Danny Trejo are from Spy Kids.
Oh yeah, of course. Machete.
Love that. Yes.
And then he plays Machete in a very different way later on.
Yes.
Okay, so this plan that they had, would this plan have worked without the undercover cop? You know what I mean? Or at least, I guess the events of the movie definitely wouldn't have happened, right?
Right.
But this plan of theirs, you know, the plan was to hijack the plane. Does it work as effectively without the like kind of coincidence was on their side here, because
yeah,
you had that cop in there who had to have a fucking gun, you know, yet another example of, you know what, maybe guns aren't the answer. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they had a strict rule, man, and he had to break the rule. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, not cool. And things go to shit, and sure enough, yeah. Like, it did not help things, that's for sure.
Did not help things.
And they lost that guy, poor fella, in the line
I
of
know.
Duty. Yeah, crazy stuff. Yeah. What a crazy movie. What a crazy concept.
It is a crazy concept. I was going to say, like, I just feel like hijacking a plane is never really going to work. I always find, like, people breaking out of prison stories, like I liked Prison Break, like things like that. I always find them fascinating because it's like,
yeah,
you really think you're gonna pull this off, don't you?
Yeah.
And like, I'm curious to see how and why you think that. Like, I think it would be a lot different now, right? Because like,
now
everything is so technology like advanced that
yeah,
I
they
feel
chip
like it would be really hard to pull off. Yeah. Well, I
you know they chip them.
No comment.
All right. Well, with all that, what do you say we get to our favorite questions?
Favorites. I'm ready.
All right. So tell me, who's your favorite performance in this?
It's Nick Cage, man.
Why?
He really, he gives it his all.
Yeah.
And he plays this character so interestingly, you know?
I gotta
like,
say,
like, I mean, yeah. I feel like it's sort of.
He makes choices.
Go ahead.
Oh, he makes choices as Nick Cage's want to do.
Yes, I didn't get to see the new Nick Cage movie that's about Nick Cage being Nick Cage.
I'm surprised. Like, yeah, you'll.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, right.
I will watch it, to be clear, but I just haven't yet. But he is like, and I like that he owns it. He's just like, yeah, this is who I am, man.
I suppose. It just,
gotta respect it.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything gets so meta now that I don't know if I can.
I do understand that.
Where it's like, yeah, somebody's saying it's like, oh, this and Everything Everywhere All at Once are the reasons I enjoy movies again. It's like, okay, Everything Everywhere All at Once, from what I hear, like, that I understand, but that Nick Cage movie, no, get the fuck out of here.
Like, I love it.
It's literally just cashing in on the Nick Cage factor, and that's, I don't know if it is fine. Like, I think we're desensitized to it, and we're saying that it's fine. I don't know if it is. Like, is this what, I don't know. I guess this is what movies are. They're just not my kind of movies, I suppose.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get
that. So, favorite performance, honorary?
That goes to John Cusack, because I love Cusack, him. But, yeah.
He actually plays more of a part than I thought or remember.
Yeah, he's definitely, like, in it.
Yeah.
You know?
He's in it. Like, he's with them at one point.
Yeah, and his character is, like, interesting and like trying really hard to help, which I like, you know, presents this guy and this dude in a good light, you know, gives him the benefit of the doubt.
Toads. Poe. Mm-hmm. Favorite scene.
My favorite scene is super visual.
Okay.
It is hold on, I'm actually gonna send you the picture.
Oh. Okay, so your favorite scene is a meme.
It is, and I finally got to see the reason behind the meme.
Yeah.
So, the meme I've seen a million times. Right, it's when Nick Cage he's getting off of the bus and going onto the plane, and he has the fresh air.
Yeah.
Fresh air.
Yeah.
The fresh air hit his hair. And he like looks up and he smiles really big with his eyes closed. And it's just glorious. Like, and also how you would probably really feel when you're coming out of prison after 7 years.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Absolutely.
This is like a guy on his way to freedom before the shit hits the fan.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, and I loved it. I was, like, so happy to see it.
Because we've felt that whatever's going on his face. Just like, oh, fuck yeah, man. Like, I think I've felt the sun on my face like that before, where I'm just, I'm Nick Cage right now, baby. Ugh.
It's so
good.
Put
the bunny back in the box, baby.
It's so bad, it's good.
Awesome.
And I love it.
Favorite quote or line of dialogue?
My favorite quote or line of dialogue is, why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Yep.
It's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, it's memorable.
It is memorable. He really likes that bunny, which is a terrible gift.
This poor bunny, like, goes through a lot.
Yeah, he was like he was gonna like go get his hair cut before he met up with his family. Like, why not get the gift then, bro?
Yeah. Right.
But a bunny is what she gets.
And she didn't even want it.
She did not want it. It was a terrible bunny gift. I mean, she ended up taking it, but it was kind of torn up and gross.
I love that bunny got a lot of attention, where she's like, it keeps getting held hostage, like it's that big of a
deal.
Like, what?
That was like,
don't move or the bunny weird. Gets it. Like,
gets it. Right, you're like,
You really are insane, aren't you?
right.
Was that Cyrus? I think that was Cyrus.
That was Cyrus, yep.
So funny. Awesome. So good. So favorite quote, well done. Let's get to our R's. So would you rewatch this or recommend it?
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I saw it. I was a child last time I watched it, but it's memorable. I remembered.
Right.
It's enjoyable, though. I like it. It's sort of cult classic-esque.
Right.
Like, it's on the verge of being a cult classic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little bit. A lot of comparison to The Rock. Like, it gives The Rock vibes, but definitely toned down in a lot of ways, actually, which is interesting, because this is a high-octane ride, I tell you what.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
A lot going on. A lot of crazy shit.
So much going on.
And then, so then our new, the newest R we have added to this. So, would you reboot this bad boy?
And my answer to that is, why not?
Yeah. I mean,
honestly, this is like a good reboot movie, right? Because we could change it up a lot. We could like
make it crazy.
It already had like some diverse casting, but like you could add some more in there. You could make the story, you know, a little more in depth. It might give it a little bit more background. Like we could know a little bit more about the plans.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. I don't know. I think it could be great.
Right.
It could remake it. It could be awesome.
Reboot this bad boy. Yeah. It's true. Like, there's potential.
I think so, too.
And just make it crazier and campier. Like, make it Bullet Train, but in the sky. Like, I can't wait to see that movie with Brad Pitt.
I am so excited to watch that movie.
June,
like,
July.
The trailer was, August. Like, 30 seconds too long.
Yes.
But, like, I enjoyed the trailer immensely. I'm going to enjoy the movie a lot. Like, it looks so good.
Yeah. See, now if Bullet Train is the Con Air of I would watch that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Great.
And I'm like so excited to see Brad Pitt like in the space that he's in that film.
Yeah.
Like I like that Brad Pitt is not, I don't want to say making a comeback because he never really went anywhere, but like I think that he's really like
it's
pushing himself forward again, and it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's got an Oscar under his belt now.
Fuck yeah, he does.
Well, what's interesting is that I think it's not going to change a thing about his approach.
No, same.
Like, I don't think it's going to change anything. Because, yeah, look at the follow-up. It's Bullet Train. It's like, this feels like, once again, one of his movies where it's like, no, I'm doing it because I wanted to work with these guys, and my name carries, or, you know, some leverage, so this will help them do more stuff, so... really cool.
Totally.
He kind of did that with that movie Killing Them Softly and stuff.
Yeah.
Great. Con Air. shall we move on to this boat? This crappy little boat?
The Jungle Cruise. And I would rate it 4 stars.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Nope, that's okay.
Out of 5 stars.
I think I missed that.
So,
yep, four.
Solid. Four.
Solid.
Stars.
Good yeah, job. I feel like it gets that extra half. Like, it might have been a 3.5-star movie, but it gets the extra half because the acting was really fun, and it was fun.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a good ride. And it didn't, like, I thought it was going to overstay its welcome, and maybe it did a tiny bit, but not nearly as much as this one.
Yeah.
That we're going into.
Jungle Cruise. You think this overstayed its welcome? I could have gone... on this cruise for another hour and a half.
What? I think it's a half hour too long.
Oh, really? That too long? I didn't feel it. Interesting.
I'm actually so happy to hear that.
But then, like, again, I kind of broke it up, so maybe that did help.
Maybe that's why. Yeah. I think it's just a tiny bit too long, but I'm excited to talk about it. I think this movie, they hyped it up a lot.
And then,
let's talk about...
I think COVID happened. Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Based on the Disney amusement park ride, known for its exotic animatronic animals and terrible puns, comes the Disney adventure movie about an adventurous woman. Can I say adventure one more time? Let's see.
Let's hear it.
An adventurous woman named Lily who seeks the legendary tears. How about the adventurous tears of the movie? The legendary Tears of the Moon, a magic tree with petals said to yield the power to heal all ailments. With the help of her brother McGregor, Lily hires a dry-witted Amazon River captain to get them to the tree before a sinister prince with desires for world domination does. The further along the river the trio travels, the more the jungle starts to fight back. With rapids, snake people, and so much more.
So much more.
Protecting the magic of the moon from ever being used by greedy people ever again. Mwahaha. Jungle Cruise! Hijinks!
Yeah!
Puns. So many puns.
So many puns. So many puns.
And Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Emily Blunt, who was this guy? I actually like
the brother.
He's known for stand-up, apparently, Jake Whitehall, and then Jesse Plemons as the, yeah, the, let's just call it what it, I mean, he's a Nazi, right? Like,
damn.
Or, you know, close enough. No, no, just kidding.
Close enough.
I think they're hinting there about, but yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah. I don't know what the time period is, so I can't say for a fact.
Yeah, I don't know when it's supposed to be either. Yeah.
You know, 1919, I want to say. Something like that.
Probably. Somewhere in there.
But anywho, Disney movie, which for a Disney movie, I gotta say, yeah, they're pushing the envelope more and more these days. I mean, we got drinking, which actually isn't too bad for Disney. I mean, casual drinking was big in the early days of Disney movies. Come on. Very widely accepted. Same with smoking. Good. But I mean that, and then like, I mean, some sexual innuendo. Like, there's a whole sequence that goes on for a little too long that kind of leads in that direction.
Sexual innuendo, like, yeah, drinking.
The violence.
Bringing a gay, openly gay character into it, which was very exciting.
Not openly enough, but okay. But yeah, it... Like,
I understand what you mean, but it was part of the time period too.
Exactly. Yes, that's true.
I think.
But handling it with kid Mickey gloves as usual.
As usual.
But you know what? Yeah, we're getting there, I suppose.
We're working on it, I guess.
And it's like, as long as everybody else accepts it, does it really matter? Yeah.
Right. We jump into Q&A?
Absolutely loved that part of it, though, because it's like, oh, wow, they're really leaning into it with this one. That's awesome. Like, yeah.
Yes.
So, so Q&A. Q&A me.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how were the Skipper jokes? Did they do justice to actually riding the ride?
Well, I mean, it helps that they drew from, I think, all of them, if... No, most of them were from what has become what Skipper canon and the on the rides. Like, they reuse a lot of the same jokes, right?
They do. Like, the backside of the waterfall, that is a famous one. Like, if you've ever been on it once, you've heard that one, right? Yes,
right.
But, like, you know, some of the Skippers are really, like... really good at making ones up on the spot. That's, you know, true.
Yeah, I think they do. You are given that freedom. Yeah,
it's funny because when I was a kid, Jungle Cruise was like, I didn't like love it or hate it, right? I was just like, oh yeah, we'll go on it, it's like by the water, so it's nice and cool.
Exactly.
It's like you can sit for a little while, which is cool. But like, as an adult, I'm just like cackling with laughter. Like, I'm like, I love these stupid, awful dad jokes.
Yeah, exactly. They're considered dad jokes now, I guess, which like most like what is a dad joke? Like, dad joke is just a bad joke at this point. Like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Basically, anything with like a corny pun attached to it is a dad joke, I guess.
Or one that makes me want to take you and physically drown you in the Amazon River. Like, those
beautiful,
are the,
beautiful.
Those are the jokes that qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. People, just don't do it. Just don't.
I just, like, love the reaction of all of the people that he has on the boat. They're just like,
it's accurate. Yeah. And I'd heard most of those, and yeah, they're pretty good. Pretty good. And it helps that they're delivered from the charismatic Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So
he is so charismatic, isn't he?
Yeah, it's
unsettling.
It sucks. You want to be big enough to punch that face sometimes.
No. He is a buff dude.
Pretty good guy. Just be a little less conservative and we can get along nicely.
Yeah. I think he tries really hard to stay neutral.
Totally. I think so. But no, he just,
he
you know.
works out for like 6 hours a day, which I think is pretty insane.
Well, I mean, the man, I say this every time he comes up, which is too often. No. No. I mean, he's pretty soon, like, we're not going to see him anymore because he will have become Rock. He will have become. Yeah. He's going to find it eventually, just be like, well, I got to go to my mountain. You can come visit, but, you know, won't be easy to distinguish me from the rest of it. What do you mean?
True.
Oh, well, my work. My work. It's done. I am the Rock.
I am a rock.
I am a rover. Anyway. On a scale from 1 to 10 in real life, they're not even a 1. I mostly hate jokes like this. We have a friend who likes to do these jokes. She likes puns.
And I do too. I enjoy them a lot.
I'm sure she's listening to this and she knows, like, I hate it so much.
And I love it. Keep doing it.
Don't.
Good. did the fantastical elements work for you?
I was not expecting it as much, I suppose, as was in it. But I guess, you know, Disney, they kind of do this. And especially
with because with pirates, they did too, right? They had the pirates come alive at nighttime or whatever.
Yep. Theme park rides.
Turning like, skeletons.
Theme park movies, I guess. Like Haunted Mansion does the same thing. Oh, I guess the problem...
You kind of expect it because of the name.
Right. I guess the problem is, with Jungle Cruise, there wasn't any of that mystical element. So that's
from, like,
the
ride point of view?
Yeah, that's kind of the disconnect, where it's like, well, I mean, they never mentioned a curse on the Jungle Cruise.
It threw me for a loop. And I kind of went through what you just said, like, where I was like, well, they kind of do this. So it kind of makes sense in that way. But then I was like thinking back to the ride and I'm like, they could have had like a swashbuckling safari without all of the weird curse stuff.
Right.
But it works.
But it does work to an extent. It stops working for me.
Yes. Tell me. Please.
When the Rock is 400 years old or whatever the fuck it is. And he's an ancient conquistador and all that stuff. That's when it starts to fall apart, and then I was like, oh shit, there's so much more movie to go. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And so eventually I just kind of had to accept it, but not the direction I would have gone, honestly. But okay.
Same.
I respect it, and I just hope, like, I just hope no sequel. Like, I don't need more then, I guess, because I'm like, I'm kind of done with this, because it's so weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
And they keep acknowledging the fact that it's like, no, I'm 400 years old. No, I'm done. Like, no. And she is just so insistent.
Like, you must live again.
You must
still.
And love me. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Did you like the character of Lily's brother, McGregor?
Yeah, I really liked him. Like, yeah, he, you know, the brother in The Mummy can be a little annoying.
Yeah.
At times, I can see him being annoying at times. Like, fortunately, I didn't feel any of that with McGregor. He's actually helpful. Like, most of the times with characters like this, they're always just useless. Like, that's kind of their function for comic relief purposes and stuff. And they have some of that, but he also, like, contributes.
Yeah, totally.
And he's got a great backstory in his own right that really makes you feel for him and him and Lily's relationship. I really enjoy.
Me too. I think that they're so sweet. Like, they really back each other up. He's clearly miserable, like, doing this kind of scary traveling, but he's like, she's always there for me, so I will always be there for her.
Yeah.
Which is very cute, you know. There was little bits of annoyance, but like you said, like, nowhere near as bad as The Mummy.
Yeah.
I enjoy this character a lot, actually.
Totally.
I do enjoy, like, a good role reversal, right? Usually we see, like, big men going through the jungle and, like, women who are terrified of everything. But in this, it's, like, sort of role reversed a little bit.
Totally.
In a good and healthy way.
I like it. Yeah.
Me too. Do you think if the movie was made in non-COVID times with a theatrical release, that it would have done better? What do you think caused it to kind of flop?
I guess it was a flop? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It sort of was. It didn't make very much.
I think it was because of COVID then, because I feel like there was hype around it. I think.
There was a lot of hype, yeah.
I think I remember being like, oh, this looks like a fun adventure film. Like, yeah.
Totally.
So, I don't know. I think COVID strikes again, you know?
I know. They kept pushing back this date, too, if you remember. Like, they kept going like, okay, we're going to release it, or we're going to put it in theaters, but then theaters were still closed. And they're
like,
okay.
Did they not release it in theaters at all?
Here they didn't, but we didn't really, I don't think we had theaters open here.
I see.
At that time.
Because, yeah, this kind of does demand a theater experience.
I think it would have been so good in the theater.
Yeah.
Totes. You know? Yeah, it cost over $200 million to make, and it opened to just $3.3 million in China.
Ooh, yikes. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like quite a... Ouch.
Dwayne's... The Rock Johnson's probably pissed. He's like, God damn it, Disney. I give you
Fuck
Moana.
You,
you do this to me. Well, yeah. What can you say except you're welcome?
I'm glad that he didn't say anything like that.
Oh, God, no. And he didn't
I
do it.
Been...
I mean, he probably did do it, but he didn't do it noticeably, the stupid eyebrow thing. Not that I could.
I agree.
That. Yeah.
It's good when, I know he has character quirks, which I enjoy, but I'm glad when they don't transfer over because it shows that he does have some depth as an actor, right?
Right.
Because, like, I think when he first started, like, really acting, people were like, is he a wrestler trying to be an actor? Is he an actor in his own right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know,
right.
Sort of back and forth. And I think he is an actor in his own right. He just has, like, kind of a niche in
action films. I prefer him
in
these kinds of things. Just do the family friendly thing, like, yeah, like, because that's your element. Don't try too hard to act, I think, because
I agree with that.
Like, I prefer this stuff over his, like, Fast and Furious stuff, any of his action things. Not so much.
I agree,
prefer him in this family friendly stuff. It's weird,
this one. And I loved him in Jumanji.
Yeah,
like, he was
Jumanji.
Great. Yeah, totally.
Do you have a favorite pun from the ride Jungle Cruise that you've heard, like, that we didn't hear here?
Oh my god, I don't know off the top of my head. Do you have one?
Because I do. Like, I always, like, I think it became part of the book for them, almost, where it's like, you reach the end of it, it's like, well, and now that we've reached the end of our journey, okay, all right, get out. I'm sorry, that was rude. Get out, please.
Yeah, I love that one. I do love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty great.
Right. Two for one sale.
Yeah, the two for one sale. The one that was in this that I know that I liked from the ride is, like, when they're like, here's a luxurious bath, and I warmed it for you a little bit or whatever, you know? That was cute.
Very nice.
Yeah, I definitely like it. I, like, watched this YouTube video of skippers, people who work at Disneyland as skippers for the Jungle Cruise, narrating the Haunted Mansion ride in the same way that they would the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
And it's so excellent.
Oh,
I can't even tell you how good it is.
Nice.
Check it out on YouTube, guys.
Oh,
it's
okay.
So funny.
All right.
I love it so much. And it's, like, obviously Disney, like, Disney Parks recorded it and posted it.
Of course.
But it's really fun.
That's fun.
Really
I
great.
Like that idea.
Awesome. Well, I think we're on to our favorite questions.
Favorites.
All right. Favorite performance.
Favorite performance goes to Emily Blunt. Like, what a great character. Yeah, really fun and a nice polar opposite to Mary Poppins. Like, she is kicking ass, and it's just really fun performance.
I agree. Yeah, she was awesome in this.
And then Honorary does go to Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Actually, I thought he was good, And
he did a good job.
But I do have to give a shout out to that. Yeah, the brother was great. Jack Whitehall. Yeah, he's really great. Good. I hope he keeps doing stuff. He's funny and charismatic. Yeah, good guy. So, but
he's British.
But no, Dwayne, yes. But Dwayne The Rock Johnson, like, yeah, he actually did decent. Yeah.
He did. And I always like to see Jesse Plemons, too. Like,
yes.
I think he's a great actor.
Yep.
So they did get some really fun people in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was your favorite scene?
The coming out scene with kid gloves. Like, even yes. Like, even though you're like, oh, it's like right there.
It could have been so much more.
Like, yeah, but well, I'll take it. And yeah, I thought that was, yeah, just a good scene and just a good sign of progress.
Yeah, I would have loved so much for the brother to find someone.
Yeah.
Like, I was bummed that he didn't, but I do get that, like, he was a side character, but I'm like, it would have been cool to see him kind of, like, find a cool jungle guy or something. Right. But you're right, they did it with kid gloves and they're trying to ease their way, you know, into being progressive, I guess. But anyways, good. I love that scene. Favorite quote?
If you believe in legends, you should believe in curses too. I don't know, I just yeah, I like the simplicity of that, and it's true enough. Like, you can't just basically saying, it's like, you know, you can't just take the good, like, you know,
yeah,
cognitive dissonance or whatever it's called, the where you just, yeah, that it, you only seek affirmations for what you believe, so yeah, your worldview is skewed because you're not actually seeking critical information. I don't know,
that anyway, is so true. I love that. That's a good quote.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, time for our 4 R's. Would you rewatch and recommend?
Yeah, totally. I think it's got rewatchability, and I would it recommend
totally
it.
Totally does.
Like, especially given, like, the lackluster reviews, I guess, it got. Like, no, I think it's a good one.
I think it's fun.
I think it ended and up being middle of the road for people.
Totally. And what would you rate it out of 5 stars?
Yeah, I'd give it a solid 4 as well. I had a good time. Woo-hoo! Like, yeah. And it wasn't,
yeah, it's
like
a fun ride.
I was like, with movies like this, like, sometimes Disney can get really, like, just super cutty and just only the fun bits all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but this actually had some breathing room and, yeah, cool, well executed action set pieces. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought
it was kind of funny that they gave him a pet.
leopard, yeah, of all things.
I was like, this is interesting. But it was kind of fun. Like, I liked that was part. He was in on, like, it attacking him at the restaurant and stuff, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Would you reboot it, even though it is only a year old?
I know, right? Now, yeah. Reboot. And also, I feel like this loosely connects. It almost begs the question, you know, should it get a sequel? Which I would say no.
Me too.
But to answer the question more directly, okay, reboot. Yeah, no, I guess no as well. But I would say, like, I would love to see more swashbuckling adventure films like this, though.
Me too.
It's
Disney
hard
really
to be different, though, when you do that niche. Because notice, like, the comparisons come pretty easily. Like, The Mummy.
Indiana Jones,
yep. Like, yeah, Romancing the Stone. Like, you can name these movies. It's unfortunate because you can just name these movies. Just
you can, but they are fun. Yeah. Like, I do wish that more of these movies existed, right? I know that we could easily become overpopulated in them, but some of my favorite movies, I love The Mummy. I love Indiana Jones. Like, you know, like, I really like that, like, swashbuckly, like, action-packed, like, weird curse tied in somewhere kind of film.
And you can go varying degrees of mystical, how far you want to lean into the mystical
totally.
elements, like, and even Indiana Jones, like, especially by the time we get to the Crystal Skull.
Yeah,
we're drifting into mystical territory. Yeah,
very mystical. I am so excited for the new Indiana Jones, though.
It's so funny that, like, because of the one image, like, guys, he is walking across.
Yep, I'm here a for bridge. It. Okay,
like
don't judge me.
It gives you nothing. Like it, oh, I. It looks
it
like
gives me everything.
It looks like Indiana Jones. He's got the whip. He's got the hat. It looks like he's got all the things, and it looks like he might be investigating a temple of some kind. What?
Still, I'm here
it
for it.
It gives
I'm
you
excited.
Nothing, but cool. Like, yeah.
Mostly, I'm just, like, so happy to see Harrison Ford. Like, hopefully they do this movie better than they did Crystal Skull, because I think we were all so excited for that one, and then it was just so not what we wanted.
Right. No, yeah,
then
no.
Then hopefully this is, like, even if it is fan service, hopefully this is what we want so we can put it to bed, right?
I think it's going to have to be, because if it's anything less, like, it'll get eviscerated.
That is sad and true.
We got Phoebe Waller-Bridge in there, which I think she'll offer a great element. I hope they go into... Because, yeah, I don't know. I just hope they use her well. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Awesome. I think that was all of them.
Yep. So that covers our movies. And now comes a time, you know, it's what the show's all about. It's time to make the connections.
That's right.
Chess pawns, clock, matches, all physical objects man-made.
Small in size, light in weight. What's the connection?
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
Ah, man, it never gets old, right?
Never gets old.
I mean,
I love
granted,
it.
It's brand new, so it can't really get old. Okay,
yeah, it
anyway.
Shouldn't get old, right?
So, with connections between these two movies, Con Air and Jungle Cruise, Casey, what did you come up with?
Sorry, guys, my connections, not the best this week. I've had a crazy week and made these right before we started recording, so not as insightful as usual.
Yeah.
Let's see. I said both movies have very famous action stars in them, The Rock and Nick Cage. I would consider Nick Cage
Isn't
a
Nick
famous
Cage an action
star. You disagree?
Yeah. I don't know. Action star.
He's in a lot of action movies.
Hmm.
Just loose connections.
Yeah.
Next one. both have father characters who will do anything for their daughters.
Okay. Yes.
So we've got Nick Cage's character, and then we've got, like, one of the villains.
Yeah.
In the Jungle Cruise.
That's true.
And last but not least, both involve traveling.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Two
it's
different modes
man.
Of transportation, but yeah. So, and that's kind of, yeah, leading right into mine. Both feature a mode of transportation that goes through a lot over the course of the movie. That plane gets wrecked, and that boat
that
gets fucked
gets
up.
That plane gets wrecked.
Both feature men delivering eye-rollingly bad puns or, you know, like one-liners.
That's so true. How did I miss that?
Yeah. both feature trips that don't go according to plan. Both feature possible associates. Oh, yeah. Both feature possible associates of the Aryan Nation. Because we got some
Excellent.
Skinheads in Con Air, and then we got, you know, Jesse Plemons' character who is, you know, writing that line.
Right,
like, you know,
right.
Definitely, like, dictator type, you know, stuff, and, you know, very, yeah.
Yes,
so yeah.
100% agree. Awesome.
There you go.
We did it, guys.
There you go. The show continues. So
it continues.
There's our connections, and now... you know, if you did enjoy these movies, we like to leave you with some little movie matchups to to keep you, you know, entertained.
But look at this nice thing though we have here.
Matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch.
All right. So let's start with you, Casey. What were the movie matches you made?
All right, my movie matches are Face Off,
Face Off. Yep. All right.
Die Hard.
Die Hard, yeah.
And Speed.
And Speed, yes.
Right?
I can see, yeah, I can see all of those being great movies to follow up if you enjoyed Climb.
Hell
and
yeah.
If you enjoyed, what are your matchups? If you enjoyed The Jungle Cruise, I would say you might enjoy the movies. I mean, we mentioned The Mummy.
Yes.
And then Pirates of the Caribbean, specifically The Curse of the Black Pearl, but basically any of them.
All of them, but yes, I agree.
And this is a lot lesser known, but there was a movie called Nate and Hayes. And this starred Tommy Lee Jones as a pirate. And this is right at the tail end of when piracy was, like, going away and stuff. And it's pretty entertaining. It's a little culturally insensitive at points, but these movies tend to do that. But I don't know. It carries a lot of the same tone. There's headhunters. There's cruising. There's pirates, though. Like, I think there's a curse even. Like, yeah. So, Nathan Hayes, and I like to give that movie a shout-out just because more people should be aware of it.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
So, with all of that, I think the time has come for our recommendations.
Woohoo!
Casey, what are you recommending?
This week, I am recommending Inside Out Takes, which is Bo Burnham, released Inside a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about it a lot on the podcast.
It's the only COVID movie that needs to happen.
Or yes, we both feel that way. I listened to the soundtrack on repeat for months in a row until I had everything super memorized. And it got me through part of quarantine, I won't lie. Anyways, so he has been working for the last 2 months to take all of the footage that didn't make it into the movie and kind of mash it up into what I could only consider like a sequel
to
Inside.
It is a sequel. Yeah.
It feels like, I mean, it's a continuation.
Yeah.
There's new songs in there.
How long is it?
It's a little over an hour.
Oh really? Oh, so it is.
He had like quite a lot of footage that didn't get into the final. Some of it is like songs that we hear in the movie, but different versions.
Cool.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, because you see the journey. That's cool.
Yep. And then some of them are songs we didn't get to hear at all, which was kind of fun.
Nice.
And there was like a couple spider bits that I really enjoyed. And just the whole thing overall.
Spider bits?
Yep. Like bits about spiders.
Oh, okay.
Not like pieces of spiders.
Yeah.
No, but anyways, Inside Out Takes, it's on YouTube. It's awesome. It definitely feels like the YouTube version of Inside because there's like a lot of bits that really like feel like they should be for YouTube. So,
oh, okay.
Which makes sense. That's where he came from, you know?
Yeah, he knows how to do that. Cool.
Awesome.
I would recommend the final seasons of Stranger Things is out. And I was not a big fan of season 3. I even like contemplate. I was like, you know, I might be done with the show. I don't know how you can really like, you know, kind of awkward. I don't know how you, like get better or whatever. Like, yeah, and stuff like this.
Yeah, it kind of went down a weird path. We haven't even started the new season because I'm sort of like, do I want to? But I'm hearing that I do.
Oh yeah, it's,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean the first two seasons are solid. Three really is the only one where I'm just like, I'm probably not even gonna revisit it, you know?
Yes,
because the first two seasons are so solid. But this I would be like, oh yeah, this is up there with favorite season. Like, it's great.
Wow.
But nothing compares to my favorite episode, which is the monster, which is from season one. And
yeah, that's such a good episode.
I highly recommend it. I think, like, I don't know how I feel about where things are going. We'll see. I'm just worried they're gonna be pulling a Daenerys Targaryen or something on us, and not here for it. So anyway, that's all I'll say. Like, you know what I mean? Where it's like the disappointing,
yes.
Disappointing thing. One second. But yeah, Stranger Things season 4, check it out. There's 7 episodes now, and then we get the final 2 episodes of the series starting July 1st.
Wow.
And I think those are going to be 2 1.5 hour long episodes or 2 hour long episodes, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good, though. Recommend.
Awesome. We got to start it. We got to watch it, man. We just finished that Upload show, so we have space in our...
Nice. And yeah, you don't even have to rewatch season 3. They do a recap for you that gives you basically...
Excellent. I love it because it is one of those shows where you're like, where did I leave off? What was happening?
There's some things that you're like, wait, what again? But it
mostly, yeah,
it's mostly fine.
Good. Good. Because I don't really want to rewatch. So good. Yeah. Awesome. Hell yeah. So I think it's time. Is it time?
Moment we've all been waiting for.
I certainly have.
Moment where we assign each other the movies to watch for next week. So, Casey, yeah, what do you got for me?
I am assigning you About Time.
About Time. About Time. Why do I feel like I've heard of this?
Rachel McAdams.
Uh-huh. Okay, I have heard of this.
Yeah. I'm sure, yeah. Rachel McAdams, Bill Nighy.
Oh, Bill Nighy. Nice.
Yeah, a couple other pretty cool people. Oh, Margot Robbie is in it.
Oh my God! Why can't I talk Margot today? Robbie.
Like,
and then isn't it directed by the? It's directed by somebody good. The guy behind Last Christmas, perhaps? No.
Richard Curtis.
Okay. Yeah, some pretty good director. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe the guy behind Love Actually. Hold on, I have to know.
He usually does rom-coms. Of course I love him.
Yeah, 4 Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill. Love Actually. Yep, there it is. Yep.
He's great.
Cool.
Those are all great movies.
I will like this then. About Time, eh?
About Time. Also, I just have to tell you that you need to just go into it and not question a lot, okay?
Oh, all right.
I'm just, like, saying that beforehand because you'll enjoy it a lot more if you don't overthink it.
Right.
It is that kind of film.
This is a Father's Day themed?
So it's a rom-com, but I believe this is a father movie.
Oh.
And you'll have to tell me if you, like, are on the same page with me. But to me, it is, like, a love letter to your dad kind of movie.
Cute. Well, with that in mind, I'm going to give you a movie that I'm sure you've seen before, but, you know. Wouldn't mind revisiting. Look Who's Talking.
Hell yeah.
Look. Who's talking?
Who's talking?
It's that baby over there.
I'm so excited to watch this. This was like one of my favorite films when I was a really small child. Like, maybe inappropriately so. But
it was the 90s.
Definitely, like,
what are you gonna do?
Huh?
It was the
90s. What can you do? What can you do? But I really have fond memories about this movie, so I'm excited to revisit it.
I think it'll have good talking points because, I mean, the talking, like, these babies.
There's so much talking.
Like,
there's talking everywhere.
But his mouth isn't moving. It's crazy.
And it's fucking, what's his name?
Bruce Willis.
What is Bruce Willis talking like a baby?
Talking about Die Hard this whole time, and here he is.
Here he is.
All right, folks, awesome. This should be entertaining.
This will be fun to try to make some connections between these two, man.
Yeah, About Time and Look Who's Talking. Looking forward to it. All right.
Me too.
Tune in next week, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and take care.
Bye.
All physical objects man-made, supporting size, height.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
So, we are all connected in the great circle of life.